So you were talking about the American families all sort of cherish the Chinese service.
Farmers and workers and come around with buggies to sell fruit and vegetables. And also they refer to the good laundrymen here and there, how they appreciate the good work and always a delightful report from all these Americans who had gone through this.
How do they feel that the Chinese move upward, you know, stop doing the laundry business and the vegetable peddling?
Well, they felt they miss them, but they know their work would be better for them in income and in social status. Though the laundry here and there continued to be of importance until the dry cleaning and the washing machine came along. Mm-hmm. Even then, even today, you'll find a number of places still the Chinese laundry, hand laundry, 24 hours. Mm-hmm. And they often the friends tease me. He said, well, no ticky, no laundry.
Yeah. So basically among your friends, they would they were understanding about Chinese.
Yes, they are pro-Chinese.
Move up words and
yes.
Even
those
they appreciate
from the 1935 to 1940, they were pro-Japanese, because the Japanese government, when I observed, they really put money in, put personnel in. Here, the Consul General of Japan, oh, they give gifts, they entertained large crowd. We were hard-pressed by the invasion, no money. And also, we were deterred by internal struggles, so many parties. And also Japan, the first thing I noticed from 1938 to 40 or to the end of the, or to the time of Pearl Harbor, the Japanese had a business bureau. They studied the psychology, what needed, how to do it, and sent back the information to Japan. Then they produced the thing, just meet the need, meet the psychology. From my elementary and high school days, I observed that in China, in the little restaurants, tea houses, they have printed beautiful, with Chinese characters, look after your own hat and clothes, 衣帽自看. And another one is 莫谈国事, don't discuss national affairs. All these, they have a beautiful picture easily hanging on the poles on the side of the table. They study the ideal, what you need. And also, from high school days, it challenged me. I said, well, a little safety pin, a little pin. We have to buy our buttons, have to buy from Japan. These little things everybody needs. So they make millions throughout the country. Just like matches, everybody uses up to the very end or the liberation of China, so-called. So the business, Japanese, you cannot beat. Mm-hmm. You see, to this day, now how America is behind in the, in electronics, computers, and number of things, car manufacturing.
Right. Well, at that time, not many Chinese actually engaged in like a white collar or middle class job, like professional, as a professor like you you are.
No.
One,
well, in a few universities, they each possibly had one Chinese teacher or in different ranks.
Even before World War II.
Yes.
In Southern California.
1938, 39, 40, University of Washington has several whom I know. especially George E. Taylor, became the head of the Institute of Far Eastern Studies. And the University of Redlands, USC, Dr. Theodore Chen, and in Occidental, Dr. Mok. And so we often get together, see our place, our contribution, our problems, that's the academic group. Then in business, some imports, exports, like they have Chinese.
So you would think an import and export group are in the social class is a little upper middle class.
Yes, it's higher than the average Chinese in restaurant business or in laundry or in produce. Mm-hmm. But later produce, Chinese in Los Angeles has done well, especially David Chan, who owns the Ventura Celery, mm-hmm. Ventura Celery mm-hmm. Company. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One day in a coin exhibit at L.A. Hilton, he presented me with a number of valuable treaty port postage stamps. Oh, I said, David, you spent too much money on me. Why? Oh, he said, Doctor, I can tell you. Now I'm a millionaire and more than that. You told me in life you must have plan, stick, work, endure, go slow from low to the high. I use a different word, programming. So after I finished UCLA, I programmed. First, Japanese and I, we shared partnership, produce company. Later I bought him up. And then I started a new one, so I have two. And I have other investments. And so it's, we are getting there. Instead of we are peddling little vegetables and lettuces and some of a few oranges, now we control this. Of course, the strike often affect the unions. Mm-hmm. That's their problem.
Uh-huh. The strange thing, or it's not strange thing, the unusual thing is among Chinese in China, merchant used to be on the lower
yes.
rank of the classes.
Yes. You see the four classifications.
Yes.
Shi, scholars, officials, nong, farmers, gong, artisans, shang, commercial, merchants. And the Chinese always have a bad connotation, jian shang, tricky merchants. Mm-hmm. You see, my father was owner of a bakery, but in my registration for school, the three generations, then what chief occupation? Farming.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
That's honored.
Yes. But in America, it's sort of a reverse, like the merchants here are more highly respected, or it's only among the American people. And in the Chinese community, the merchants still
feel they are not as highly regarded as the average American businessman, merchants.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's the old tradition. I suppose gradually will be modified or entirely eliminated.
So would you say that the Mount Chinese community, if especially in the early days, still Chinese regard the scholar as the most...
on the higher level.
Higher level, yeah.
Yes, I think the traditionally the Chinese people, the merchants, the farmers, or the laundrymen, chopsay, or anything, they hear you are a professor and they show unusual respect. That's the old Chinese tradition. I don't think they have eliminated that yet.
Uh-huh. So actually, even you don't speak any Cantonese and you cannot communicate with them most of the time if it's in Chinese, well, but they still
the
respect
top, the
you.
Top layer, top level, they could understand English, they could converse, they understand enough Mandarin, and so there didn't feel much difference.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So,
but like you're talking about the restaurant people and the laundry people, they still respect the scholars like
yes.
You and
yes.
Dr. Chen
any
and
of this, Dr. Mok and
uh-huh.
and another Dr. Stanley Chen, and there's Dr. Chen of Pomona, they're
mm-hmm.
brothers,
mm-hmm.
and the other brother is in Stanford. The three Chen brothers,
Wing.
They were pioneers.
Uh-huh. I see. So you mentioned that among these academic scholars in Southern California, you often get together and sort of discuss how you feel about your positions.
You mean among the Chinese?
Or any sort of experiences
any. Well,
of yours.
You see different groups. History, we have a history guild, all colleges from Santa Barbara to San Diego at first. Now the communication and the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
During the before the war or during the war years, we met at Occidental or UCLA or USC, and we had a good called history guild. They are still functioning.
Yeah, so in the history guild, were there many Chinese, say,
quite a
in
few,
the 40s?
Quite a few, they go there, quite a few went there.
Uh-huh.
And then you have this branch, this Pacific Coast branch of the American Historical Association.
Uh-huh.
In August, usually they meet here.
Uh-huh.
This year is in Hawaii, I guess.
I don't know yet.
Yes,
uh-huh.
I mean, I got the,
you got the,
got
uh-huh.
the notice.
Uh-huh.
And then you have the business group, they no doubt have their groups,
mm-hmm.
engineers,
mm-hmm.
and also Chinese professional groups. Some are combined. There's a club called Optimist Club, but the Chinese, Japanese, and Mexicans, maybe one or two or three, when I was asked to speak. Predominantly Japanese, second largest group Chinese, then a few Chicanos and two or three colored.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's not too long ago.
Right. How about when you mentioned that you meet with like Dr. Chen or Dr. Mok, talk
yes.
about your experiences and what is the general consensus about the treatment you receive by your non-Chinese colleagues?
We felt we were quite at ease, and sometimes we were better treated than the average professors.
Mm-hmm.
And because I think it's hard for me to say, we were chosen, we were appointed to such, and you don't find many who could command the knowledge of China and the knowledge of the West,
mm-hmm.
of America.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to not just knowing Chinese. For instance, a certain gentleman who has been with UCLA, but he couldn't command the English language, very little knowledge of the Western history or language as such. The etymology or philology, you are isolated. And as a whole, these people are not this type. Many Chinese were, I use the word frankly, exploited by American sinologists,
mm-hmm.
who major in Chinese. All right, I take a Chinese with me to write this book. But the burden was on the Chinese. Yet, the American's name always referred to as the author.
And these Chinese helping this American
to write
the word of ones actually
also gave them a boost, a promotion. Without the American, their work could not be published individually.
Was it like a combined effort, but the Chinese authors with
Americans, but the American get the credit.
So why these Chinese cannot go out and just publish themselves?
Well, gradually, in the recent years, there were more, especially the field of publication, the publishers are wider. The Chinese University in Hong Kong, or many of the universities, they have Chinese types, have Chinese sections, so can be published. Now it's a fashion throughout the United States. Most of the major universities, state universities, they have Chinese leaders, institutes, publications.
But in old days, it would be
from 1938 to 1950, I would say, chiefly is the ones, I hate to mention the name, but you can look, John Fairbanks and Bickerstaff, a number of these, Rice Hauer, a number of these, their name on top, but the Chinese co-author.
I see. Yes. But the Chinese got to have these big American names
to get into the early period.
Yeah.
Recently, I think they have achieved to a stature, and also the facilities are better, so it will not be as hard as years past.
How about yourself, may I ask, did you publish?
Well, I co-authored with Dr. Carl Becker of Cornell, Sidney Painter of Johns Hopkins. Three of us wrote the past that lives today.
It was published
in New Jersey by the Silver Burdett Company.
In what year?
1952 was published. But we started an authors conference in New York, 1944. But delayed, and modified until 52, first edition came out.
I see.
Then 62 revised.
So
they served a purpose. This first time a Chinese co-author, originally they want me to take 2/5. I said no more than 1/3, three of us. At that time, China was still on the high.
You can bargain or negotiate with them.
I said later I will regret, the publisher will regret, and would be some negative comment. This book will serve in the United States and all the occupational forces. So the first 10 years, it pays each one $2,000 royalty a year. So it's very good.
Yes. How about the, you're talking about the pay. Was all these Chinese in the old days, especially in your fields, get paid quite well?
I would say as a whole, they are not as well. It's not on parity with the Western teachers. Major will say British history, Near East history, and Russian history, Latin American history. But the Far Eastern history, the pay as a whole, as far as I know, are to the professors are lower.
Even you get like associate professor or
full
professor.
By that time, all depends how you started.
I see.
I refer to that, my misfortune, and I should begin with a 2,800 a year, but I got 2,400 a year.
Oh, I see.
You see.
Oh, and
so it was slow, you see.
Yeah, was that a common experience among the Chinese professors here in Southern California? like Dr. Chen or Dr. Mark, did they have similar experiences?
I won't be surprised. I don't have the actual figure, but
yeah,
I won't be surprised.
You actually probably
because,
talk about that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I won't be surprised.
Uh-huh, I see. But how about the general, the average incomes for the Chinese day?
Well, they all are careful in their spending. They are not like the average American. Mm-hmm. Everything new, fine. Everything this. Mm-hmm. Clothes must be the best. And every household furnishings must be the best. Now, that's one characteristic I observe. Mm-hmm. The other is they try to figure out what outside avenue for their revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And for myself, real estate. For some, like Dr. Theodore Chen, Charles Wong,
mm-hmm.
They began to build apartment houses, acquire lands.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also real estate. At that time, they observed the trend.
Mm-hmm.
And I set a bad example.
That's not a bad example. Yeah. Well, most of the Chinese live nearby Chinese neighborhood, or would they, you know, move to a Chinese neighborhood, or they
no.
choose to?
No, I think the educated group, they don't care to go into a cluster of Chinese families.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think some, they even avoid that.
Mm-hmm.
So as most of the Western trained or modern minded Chinese, they do not hope or wish to live exclusively Chinese way of life.
Mm-hmm.
And also here, you establish your home, you became citizens, you make your living, make your future, your descendants.
Mm-hmm.
So they do not see that they have to go into a clustered areas for consolation, because they have cars, they can communicate, telephones, and also the areas where they used to be have become less desirable.
Mm-hmm.
The value deteriorated. Mm-hmm. Until recent years, people bought those up, built up condominiums.
Yes. So, and also you mentioned about more educated Chinese, and how about the like successful businessmen? They would also avoid to live nearby Chinese community or Chinese neighborhood.
No, I don't think so. I mean, you see the Kwangs, the Hongs, the Chows. They don't live clustered, must be near Chinatown, must be the group where
they don't think
they
that
had
way.
To, because
oh, they had to.
That
okay.
was due to the racial restriction. Once some Chinese got in, then that's broken, then
right.
others can come in.
Right.
But now it's wide open.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and you mentioned about the instance
yes,
that you
my
ran
own
into.
Experience.
Yeah, experiences. What do people do with money they save, you know, for Chinese people? As you mentioned, that you know, invest or what?
Investor, business, land, homes, and.
How about sending money back to China before World War II?
Well, I think many of them they do, but it's from the point of view here, it's very little.
Uh-huh.
Like Gloria Ni, his parents were, his father was my teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And. So they sent money to the mother and father.
Mm-hmm.
And a number of the families, they sent it through Hong Kong and also benefit the relatives on mainland,
mm-hmm.
because once they get some foreign exchange, the members were specially treated.
Uh-huh.
They have allowance to purchase more things.
Uh-huh.
So that is very little comparatively of their income.
Mm-hmm. I see.
So yeah. they do send. I didn't have any relative to send or friends to send for a long time.
So you say. Yeah, do you know?
Now, yesterday I heard from Seattle, Washington, a young fellow, his father was my good friend. He is going to lecture 2 months in a university in Canada. And I said, call me, reverse the charge. And anytime, he is going to lecture in the Long Beach State University. He is from Peking, born there, brought up there. But his work is in the Institute of Oceanology in Qingdao. And under a former colleague of mine from St. John's University, Shanghai, he told me yesterday the letter reached him late, so Dr. Zhu from Qingdao mailed back to Canada, so he received yesterday.
I see. So do you know of any Chinese who were involved in politics in China, for example, in supporting the Sino-Japanese War and World War II?
Well, at that time, well, I don't have anything offhand, the individual names.
Uh-huh.
No
but
doubt,
Chinese
no did. Doubt. For instance, when I was questioned and grilled for 1 hour and 45 minutes in Yokohama, and he said, this secret agent from Japan, he said, you know, I'm here to capture more Chinese who went to America, make anti-Japanese speeches. On their way back, they couldn't get back to China. So that was warning to me, don't make anti-Japanese. He said, we have 2 or 3 in prison now.
Uh-huh.
He even wrote the names. I have the list. This is very hard. I got through, luckily, in many ways. In Kobe, the captain of the ship was a classmate of the chief pilot there.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked and said, well, Han is all right, so no problem. But by the time we got to Yokohama, Kobe, I couldn't, no, not Kobe, Nagoya, I couldn't land. I quietly went to the deck peep. A Japanese with a rifle go down.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that was aeroplane production center.
Mm-hmm.
Though it's T.
Mm-hmm.
Loading was T.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a center guarding very secretly, I mean, against any foreign observation.
Right.
Then at Yokohama, this good man, secret agent, he quizzed me 1 hour and 45 minutes. His whole approach is, why are you anti-Japanese? Why this? Why that? And then some ones who are doing that, involved in that, are captured, being captured.
Uh-huh.
They are, in the main, they are not here. They are in China.
Uh-huh.
Samuel Zhang,
uh-huh.
One of the assistant editors of a newspaper, he was assassinated in Shanghai because he was anti-Japanese. And also Herman Liu, University of Shanghai president. And I would have the same fate if I stayed on.
They were all from America.
Big one?
They were
They're
all from
all
the United
trained,
States.
Returns.
I
yes.
see. Uh-huh. So apparently there were quite a few of them at that time. And did many Chinese feel they had obligations in China? Like, for example, supporting the family in China. If they have family in China, do they feel
an
obligation?
Yes, I'm sure. This is the Chinese tradition. And matter of fact, when I was a student, I sent money to my parents.
Mm-hmm. Go back to supporting the China in terms of politics. Would these people supporting China or getting involved in politics, were the more educated people, or mostly?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Because
they all were.
Like the laundry people, the the people engaged in laundry business or
no? Well, they follow suit. You see, the Cantonese group uh-huh. all are for the nationalists.
Yes.
From Sun Yat-sen's time and to this day, mm-hmm. and then in the Chinese communities like New York, you find the communist group, mm-hmm. and you find small groups. For instance, in China, this Qingliandang, the youth party, mm-hmm. and but he is more, they are more for the nationalists mm-hmm. at the consultative conference of all parties. They support the Kuomintang, mm-hmm. so they are not wanted by the communist group. So the Kuomintang still tolerated. Every year they have a general meeting in Taipei. Mm-hmm. Li Huang was the chief founder. Mm-hmm. He was a friend of mine with our came to our house many times. Mm-hmm. And another one, some Shun Sheng. Well, anyway, that's it.
Zhuo Shun Sheng.
Hey, Zhuo Shun Sheng. That's one. And then the other group, so-called National